Good evening, everybody, and happy Monday. Welcome to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine, right here on MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. I'm your girl, Dre Mav, and you can find me on the gram at 305_Brownie.
This is George, 305 Magazine, 305 Radio, and in the building we have Will.
I'm back for the first time.
Damn it, man. It's good to have you here. And then, more importantly, we have the infamous director of Miami, Billy Corbin. What's up, man? Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. You know, I thought that this was 305 Radio because of the area code. It turns out it's 305 degrees in your studio, and that's why you call it 305. You should call it 954 Radio because it's 954 degrees in the studio.
I swear to God, but we have plenty of water to keep you hydrated.
It's true. It's true. It's unbelievable. I came walking in here, and it's like they have like fans taped to the ceiling and to the floor. I thought I was in Hialeah for a second. It's unbelievable.
If you want to leave the door open,
Leave the door open, man.
This is Miami Underground Radio on the third floor in Brickell, because everything, it's like, to paraphrase The Lion King, everything that the sun touches will be underwater soon.
Yeah, soon enough.
All of it.
That's what they say, right?
All of it.
I mean, that's a fact already.
Yeah, no, I think all of the condos that they build, they should put the lobby on the 15th floor. You should look up and you should be like, what the hell? Are those docks? Are those like, is that like, yeah, that's a marina on the 15th floor. They're building it now to be ready for the flood.
We're just getting ready for the future. We're progressive here. La ciudad de progreso. You know?
Yeah, we're all about irony.
Shit.
All about irony.
Man,
city
of
progress.
You are infamous for just putting Miami, a different perspective of Miami, out to the world. You did, man, where do we start? You have Dogfight that put the Perrine backyard fighting into the world. Mm. How was that?
I mean,
that was insane.
That was a project that I was very emotionally invested in, because we had done Cocaine Cowboys in the U, and we thought that maybe people would trust us to have some kind of insight into underground Miami subcultures. And so we started to make Dogfight in about 2009, and we carried it, which is to say that we did it on spec. We financed it ourselves, and we were hoping that we would find a buyer who would bail us out, basically, you know, because we had a lot of money in it. So we were working, and honestly, people, we cut a reel together, and we made the mistake of putting it online at the time. And I say mistake because, like, and then everybody else caught on and came down. Vice came down, and Nat Geo came down. All these people came down to do their own segments on this subculture that we were documenting. And so they all did short segments on it, and we were doing obviously something a little more long form, a feature doc, and so we did it, and I was really confident in it. I felt very strongly about it, and thought that it was some of our best work at the time, and we started to show it to people in the industry who agreed, who saw the reel were like, wow, this, and then rough cuts of the whole piece, and people were like, oh my God, this is your best work. This is, you know, 26 miles southwest of Ocean Drive, which is what everybody pictures when they picture Miami. But Miami is far more than that. And in fact, most of Miami is the antithesis of that. I mean, you know, we just saw just a couple months ago, the Alice report from the United Way that reported that 60% of Miami-Dade County residents cannot afford to make ends meet. 60%, that's 60. That's not 16, that's not 6, it's 60. 60% of Miami-Dade County residents, it's 59% and change, but it's essentially round up. 60% of people who live in Miami-Dade cannot afford to live in Miami-Dade. And at least 40% of those are the working poor, meaning 19% are at poverty, but 40% nearly have jobs, at least one job. So people are working and cannot afford the basic expenses of living in this county: rent, transportation, You know, whatever it takes to just groceries. Survive. Yeah, whatever it takes to just simply survive. Not thrive, but just survive. This town is impossible. So when you sort of shine a spotlight on West Bryne and say it's like Thunderdome over here, those are the realities of the Miami economy much more than any Will Smith video will let on. And so that was the story we wanted to tell. That was the story we thought we were telling. And everybody was telling us, this is some of your best work, but we will not buy it, and we will not show it. And as a true story, I the most popular reasons why were that it was too urban, too violent, and too real. So I was like, wait a second.
Kind of doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make any sense. So
that's the recipe that you want.
You'd think, right? Mm-hmm. So. You think that describes the formula for, like, everything hot about American pop culture.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Hip-hop, sports, like, you know, NFL, like, all the most popular. I mean, you know, everything except for NASCAR, which is too violent and too real, but not too urban. You know, because we all know too urban is code for too Jewish. Yeah. I mean, let's be real about this, right? So, you know, I was despondent. I was dejected. I was lots of diz.
Okay.
and it was a bummer because, like, not only were we in the hole on this project, but this was a project that I put a lot of myself in. We dedicated a lot of time. Obviously, a lot of the people in the movie were looking forward to it.
Of course.
Because you know that, like, you know, there's a lot of currency in being a part of something like that. And, you know, to be sort of like street famous like that, you know, it's a big deal. And so I was really disappointed that we couldn't get the project off, like, out. And so finally, it sat on the shelf for a while. By shelf, I mean hard drives. That's what happens now.
Okay.
Things sit on hard drives now. It used to be you'd film something, so film reels would sit on a shelf. Now it sits on a hard drive. And so we... what happened was is that first, over the course of making the documentary, one of the main fighters that whose story we were telling was killed, and then in 2014, another one of the fighters who was an extraordinarily colorful character, he was actually involved in the most important, like, kind of central fight to the documentary with the other fighter who had died. He was tasered to death by Hialeah police. Treyon Johnson, who is the brother of Denzel Curry.
Wow.
And so when Tree died, this had nothing to do with the movie. The movie was done and just sitting collecting dust. And I went to my producing partner, Alfred Spellman. I said, can we please just release this movie before we're all dead? Like, it gave me a real sense of just, like, mortality, and, like, it's like a documentary with an obituary section at the end.
Yeah.
It's really, so it's intense to watch. It was even more intense to live it and to document it. And my producing partner said, let's do it. Let's just, we've come this far with it. Mm-hmm. Let's just put more money, you know, kind of throw good money after bad at that point. And we self-distributed it. And fortunately, Netflix swooped in and picked up the streaming rights and really kind of, in a way, sort of saved us. We haven't made any money on it yet, but, like, at least it's out there and people can see it and we have the chance to kind of recoup. And now we're doing a sequel. We're doing Dogfight Round 2. So I guess, for whatever it's worth, I mean, that's a happy ending to the documentary, but it seems that there are very few happy endings for the people in the story.
No, yeah, absolutely. And
that's Miami. That's life.
It's
that's
unfortunate,
true.
But it's real.
That is the way Miami is. I mean, the reason why I brought that up first is just because that's one of the last time we spoke, last time we interviewed was as soon as Dogfight came out.
Oh, yeah. So, 2015.
Yeah. So before, you know, I want to just dive into that. And, man, you just laid it on us, man.
Yeah.
With a lot of information about it, but
I got man boobs now. I didn't have them. I got dad bod now. I didn't have dad bod last time. I was, like, on my way, but I was a little more in shape. I was not in backyard fighting shape, but I was closer back in 2015. Yeah.
He was one of the contenders.
Yeah. But now I'm not even on podcasts with air conditioning. So I mean, hey, we're just slumming it here, right?
We have fallen so far in Brickell.
We did this just for you.
I want you to know. Speaking of just for you, I never come to Brickell. When I say I never come to Brickell, I'm not being like hyperbolic. He's like, oh, he comes to Brickell, you know, twice a month. Never ever come to Brickell. Never come
Thank
to.
You.
I am not a Brickellista. Okay. I am much more of a Maxinista, I think, than that's a TJ Maxx regular shopper, frequent shopper at TJ Maxx. But I would only for you guys. Because I was led to believe there was central AC.
Well, you know
but
what?
I was lying. It was a lie. It was a lie.
We tricked you.
The 305 radio is a lie.
That was the first question he asked.
We tricked him. We got him here. It worked.
I mean, this guy's wearing he's wearing a Marlins shirt from the last time the Marlins were any good.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, el equipo de la Americanas?
Por supuesto que sí.
De las Americas.
We should have had Will when we were next door at the Fiesta Station. For those that don't know, the big breakout documentary was Cocaine Cowboys for you guys.
I'd say so.
I think everybody here in Miami has
everyone's
seen.
Everyone's seen. It's man, it's like a small cult built around that movie, man. How do you feel about that? You're almost like a cult leader.
Holy crap, where was that? Can I curse? I forgot. Hey, good. I was just making sure before I said holy crap. So we were driving southwest, mm-hmm. and there was a church that was like named for a cult. What was it? Where was it? I'm gonna put him on blast now. Oh shit.
Go ahead.
I should stop. I should totally. It was like the Heaven's Gate Church, or it was like. Down in Southwest Miami Dade. It was like Heaven's Gate. It was not, I was like, wait, Heaven's Gate, like Christian something church. And I was like, I don't think that's it was kind of like when Sun Bank changed their name to SunTrust, which sounds exactly like SunTrust, which was a bank that blew up in the savings and loan scandal. That was like a huge scandal. In fact, the bank, you know, the famous tower here in downtown Miami, it was the SunTrust building. Now we know it like was a Bank of America. It's had like seven. It's like Joe Robbie. Yeah. It's had like 17.
Exactly.
I think it's Landshark Tower now. Whatever the fuck. It's like what is it? Pro Player Tower or
it's
whatever.
Dolphin
Tower. Then Dolphins Tower. Remember, two different names of Joe Robbie Stadium were Dolphin Stadium and Dolphins Stadium. Without an S, I shit you not, look it up. Those were two different names of the stadium at two different times.
Yeah.
Dolphin Stadium and Dolphins Stadium.
We say
irregardless in Miami because we're illiterate. I use it ironically. But the SunTrust building, you figure, like, why would SunTrust want to change their name to, like, something that had such a bank that basically shut down over a scandal? And so that's, like, this Heaven's Gate Church down in Southwest. I was like, what the hell?
We need pictures of this next time.
I know.
We need you to add it to your Instagram with your Miami filter.
Absolutely, yeah. Because Miami, yeah.
Florida,
whatever. I'm a Yahweh, so it doesn't really matter for people who know what that means. I'm starting. The sweat is starting to.
Yeah.
So like, not only is the sweat starting to drip down, so
paper towels,
I made the mistake of putting product in my hair. So what's happening is, of course, the product and the sweat
so
are dripping down. Into my eyes.
You're not gonna go
right
blind
now.
Or start hallucinating.
I'm so blind. I could pitch for the Marlins. They would totally draft me.
We apologize, Billy, but we're suffering right here with you.
I love it. I hear you.
We're dying here.
I hear you.
We're dying. Well, you know what? At least it's a shared experience.
Yeah, and I want people listening at home to feel it too. You know, you want them to be like,
you're
talking
about the Lion King. Look at my hair. It's
a mane. It's a mane. It's beautiful. It looks great. Yeah, and the humidity is helping it.
I'm telling you, I'm glad we're just on audio and not visual right now.
Like a Jufro, like I have. It's great.
Jesus. Oh man, so. So your latest project,
yeah,
Screwball. I mean, this is a really dope a way of presenting a project. You had kids in the in the flick.
Reenacting the characters.
The whole scenario.
Yeah.
Like, tell me, where'd Screwball come from? And, what kicked you guys into gear and make this film?
So we, like everybody else in the country and in the world, had of course read about the biogenesis steroid scandal when it broke in January of 2013 in the Miami New Times. Mm-hmm. Tim L. Frank, who's now at the Washington Post, was at Miami New Times, and he broke the story. Sensational cover story that revealed that there was this clinic in Coral Gables, right across US 1 from the University of Miami, right across from Alex Rodriguez Field at Mark Light Stadium at UM. And in this clinic, there was a guy wearing a lab coat that said Dr. Tony Bosch on it, mm-hmm. pretending to be a doctor. He was, in fact, not a licensed physician anywhere. And Florida or anywhere.
Belize, right?
Or anywhere. He went to medical school in Belize.
So the performing
yeah, which one of our interview subjects refers to as the Belize School of the Medical and Performing Arts. Is that where we're recording from now? The Belize School of the Medical and Performing Arts. Brickell School of the Medical and Performing Arts. Right now. So
we need an AC,
I got somebody on the line saying it's 85 in honestly, NYC, no, so they can imagine how it is down here.
If we were in Belize, there'd be air conditioning. So anyway, so
make a documentary about this when he leaves here.
So we are, and of course, he had a lot of famous major professional baseball players, Major League Baseball players, Manny Ramirez, Ryan Braun, Melky Cabrera. And his most famous client was, in fact, the highest-paid baseball player of all time, Alex Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. And so the story broke. Escándalo.
It was bananas.
And super so scandalous. It was plantains, really, is what it was, because it was the most Miami story, like, ever. And Tony Bosch, this fake doctor, I was on a radio show, and someone described him as the most Miami creature ever.
Yes.
Robert was the most Miami creature ever. And it's hard to argue with that.
You had to make a creature out of Miami. That comes out of the sewers, man. That's him for sure, dude.
If there was like a Dr. Frankenstein of Hialeah, doing Brazilian butt lifts and putting together the most Miami creature ever.
It would definitely be him.
Going to the graveyard on Coral Way and digging up body parts and putting them together, they would have created Tony Bosch. And so this what immediately went on our Google spreadsheet of Florida fuckery.
Nice.
And so we actually have at our company Raconteur, we have a Google spreadsheet of Florida fuckery, and these are just stories that either come up publicly, mm-hmm. or that we meet interesting people or become aware of over the transom, or people introduce us to interesting people, and we add it to the spreadsheet, mm-hmm. and we're like, hopefully someday, we'll live long enough to tell all of these incredible, incredible stories. That's the thing. I always say, Twitter has a 240 character limit. Florida has unlimited characters. There's no limit. There is no limit to the characters here. So so we added it. Now, here's the thing about stories is stories have to mature. They have to ripen, I say. So especially for a documentary where you're asking people to appear on camera and divulge intimate secrets, we usually want to talk to them about particularly embarrassing or unflattering parts of their life. And so those stories have to ripen, meaning if there's like a fresh wound, you can't really
dig too deep into
it. People are, if it's fresh, people are like, they need time to heal. They need a little distance.
A little guarded, right.
Absolutely. And they need time to kind of
process.
Absolutely. Everything. And then feel comfortable enough to look back and say, wow, that was crazy. Let me talk about it now and sort of work it out. And people find participating in documentaries very cathartic. It's a real piece of punctuation at the end of a sentence. It's like, it really feels like, okay, I've closed that chapter of my life. I can move on because I've kind of put it on the record. I've spoken, chapter and verse about it very candidly on camera. I could feel like it's time to move on. So we felt like it happened in January 2013, the story broke. Like, we knew it would take some years for it to move on. I'll give you a great example. People are always like, when are you going to do a documentary about the big three? You know, like, what a great doc that would make, you know?
You're already working on it?
A great front office story, too. Well, no, that's the thing. You got to listen, LeBron's got to retire. You know, like, you need time. He's like the last man standing, I suppose. But then not only, you can't just have him retire and then do it the next day. You need to wait 10 years on, 15 years on. He needs to have some time to look back. And a historical doc is supposed to recreate history with some distance, with some wisdom, with some retrospect. And so you can't just do it. You have to wait. So we thought, well, we're going to have to wait. But what a great story someday to tell. And then in November of 2013, so this is January 2013, the story breaks. In November of 2013, we get a call. I get a call from a guy who I know from, like, UM alumni shit.
Okay.
He is the publicist to Alex Rodriguez. And he hits me up and says, hey, listen, we're in the midst of arbitration in New York with MLB because Alex was appealing. He's the only one of the 13, I think, players who appealed his suspension, which was the longest suspension in the history of the game. And he would like to meet with you while he's on a break from the arbitration. He has an office in Coral Gables. So I said, great. Why not meet with Alex Rodriguez? That sounds cool, right?
Why not, right?
So Alfred and I meet with Alex Rodriguez, and we thought that I've told the story a few times now. I'm sure he's thrilled about it. I know I'm not getting an invitation to the wedding. It's all good. I thought we were going to meet, like, quietly. Like, he has an office in Coral Gables is what I was told.
Yeah.
And he wants to talk about doing a tell-all documentary. So I'm like, okay, so we're going to meet on the down low, right? So they tell us to meet them. Weekday, high noon, Hillstones.
Hillstones?
On Ponce and Miracle Mile.
It's
a good meeting
That's
place.
Very DL.
The most prominent. The most, I don't know that there's such a thing as power lunch in Coral Gables, but if there was, this would be
it.
I don't know what the economy is in Coral Gables. I mean, you look around the restaurant and you're like, is this just Medicare fraud? Like, who are these people? Where does their money come from? How does any of this work? I presume they're all Medicare fraudsters. And no, I'm just kidding, Coral Gables. Only some of you are Medicare fraudsters, or maybe most of you, but not all of you. I'm being hyperbolic for the purpose of comedy. They're all Medicare fraudsters. So anyway. So we go to Hillstones, which at the time was for years, was so marvelously shitty and ghetto Miami that despite the fact that they changed the name from Houston's to Hillstones, it still said fucking Houston's on the door. Right? So you're, like, literally looking up at this giant sign that says Hillstones, and you pan down to the door, and etched into the glass it says Houston's.
It's the Joe Robbie of restaurants.
They can't even, the other door said pro players.
It said Houston.
Yeah.
It said Houston.
Like Land Sharks, bro, is what the other one said. Like, you're going to change the name. Change the fucking name. Don't be get.
Well, you know, that's funny that you bring that up, because I went to Bayside this weekend.
Why?
And
were you deported?
Well, what happened? And passing by Chili's, there's a huge sign that says Buffalo Wild Wings, like, inside of it. And I'm just sitting there like, is this a Buffalo Wild Wings or a Chili's?
You roll up to fucking Bayside on the boat, and there's, like, they cast you a line, and there's a guy yelling, pasporte, pasporte. Yeah. You're like, where the fuck am I? What is happening here? Seriously, like, when we were kids, like, Bayside was, like, hot. It was, like, Omni was hot. Like, 163rd Street Mall was hot. Yeah. Like, you were like, we got to go. We got to take the kids to Bayside.
Yeah.
Right? This is exciting. They make fudge live. You know, like,
I miss
we've
that
never
fudge.
Seen, we've never seen shit like that in Miami before. You know, like, never. So we go to Bayside, and now it's like, what the hell
what
is
am I
this?
Doing there?
The Omni is a disaster. Before it turned into a school, that was, like, it was the weirdest place. You walk in there, you're afraid you get jumped. And take into a different dimension. I don't know if you ever walked into that building.
I first of all, my grandma took me there to ride the carousel because there was this beautiful merry-go-round inside the mall.
Yeah, right in the middle. Yeah.
Right in the middle, and there was it was a pretty.
They had a
beautiful
toy
mall.
Store.
Look,
the movie.
I'm not gonna lie.
The AMC movie theater was there.
I used to work there. I used to work at Record Time.
The record, no shit. In the Omni? That's awesome.
But towards the end of it. And we used to get robbed all the time.
Nice.
I used to stop like, a homeless guy. Dude, lift up your shirt. 10 DVDs, 10 CDs. Like, brother, the place is closing down. What are you doing? Like, if no one's coming in to buy this stuff, why are you taking it? No one wants it. And you ain't going to sell this shit nowhere else.
Welcome to Miami, right?
No, I like you educating criminals. Sit down.
Right.
There is no market for this merchandise.
That's true.
Our retail storefront is living proof. What are you? Why are you wasting your life? You should be going. You should be selling drugs. There's a market. People want drugs. Let me explain supply and demand for you. There is no demand for CDs. You need to go sell something that people want. People want meth. Get your shit together, bro. Get your shit together. I love it.
I should have just told them. Yeah. What are you gonna use the money for? To buy drugs. Go be a drug dealer.
Right.
You see how this works already, bro.
Right. You're just a responsible adult. That's you were ahead of your time.
I didn't even know. Yeah. I wasn't even an adult, but fuck it.
And IFAC was probably opening there in the mall at the time. Called IFAC, which is now called Art Institute or Miami International University.
It was across the street, actually.
No, they opened in the film department. It was across the street, but the film department opened in the shopping mall. They literally took over a storefront for IFAC. It was what it was called at the time.
I abandoned ship way before that.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
Way before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's like way back in the late 90s, maybe, right?
I don't even remember.
Mid-late. Record Town. What the hell was Record Town?
It was like Specs.
Specs.
It was again.
Peaches,
it was
bro.
Peaches.
Records and tapes, bro. Records and tapes, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I had to jump ship. I was like, dude, I'm the only one in this mall. I'm out. Yeah. And it was casual.
Might as well steal the CDs and stuff.
I mean, for what?
Well, thank God. But thank God they made a Metro Mover station. I mean, like, right there at
the
Omni.
Only escape,
yeah, it's like the world's largest and most expensive moving homeless urinal, the Metro Mover.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's exactly what
but they
is.
Have
it's
no.
Disgusting.
So now it's a little, I mean, look now, like, Brickell's almost a real place, right?
I'm only here for the show.
And I'm on the other side of the train tracks
Kendall.
Right now.
Right to West Kendall. Right to the ice arena with you.
Tell you, man. I'm telling you.
Don Carter's, bro.
Don Carter's.
Taking us back, Billy.
Coño. Yeah, for real, bro. So, you're in the middle of this A-Rod thing.
I'm in the middle of it.
We're back
I was
at
in the
Hillstone.
Middle of it.
In the middle.
Everybody's in the middle of an A-Rod thing. He's a gravitational
thing.
Force all unto himself. So we go to Hillstones, bro.
AKA Houston's.
I know that because it's still said. I feel like it may still say it on
it might.
The door now.
Yo, but that just proves it's Medicare fraud. Because you want it. Isn't this Humana? No. Check out something else. Hago nuevo.
Humanas, bro. Humanas. Why do we do that, Miami? Why do we put an S at the end of everything?
Humanas.
Like, Humanas. Like club spaces, bro. Like bring up club spaces. Is it an S plural or is it an apostrophe S possessive? Why do we add? Right.
A lot of people don't know those differences either. So
we got a Publix's, bro. We got a Publix's. And a Dixie's.
Yeah, definitely not all of us in this room.
I love Will's wearing all the vintage Marlin shit. It's all the vintage from his head to his toes.
That's right.
He's committed.
That's right.
I love that. The last time they won anything, it's really a celebration. You are a celebration.
It's really a celebration.
You're a celebration of the last time they won anything before they literally moved into to cursed real estate.
Estate. How it's a curse on top of a curse on top of a curse at this point.
Yeah.
Jesus, that property does not get a break.
Yeah. Nobody wants to go there. Like nobody wants to go there.
Dude.
It's incredible. They could just open. They could get rid of the turnstiles and just say, "Yo, homeless guy that used to steal shit from Record Town, come on in." He'd be like, "Bro, no. I learned. Nobody wants this shit, bro. That guy would not steal Marlon's tickets. He'd be like, no, I'm aware of supply and demand, bro. Thanks to Jorge at Record Town, I know. Nobody wants this shit.
Nobody
wants this shit, bro. I mean, it's
gonna start selling condos.
It's ridiculous. Nobody wants to get.
Shout out to the Marlins. Man.
Hey, man.
Come on.
The Marlins, you know, I mean,
I love you, Miami, man.
I mean,
Those are our colores, bro.
Get the fuck out of here. You know that, like, there's tourism to Poland and to Germany to visit death camps. Those people will not go to Marlins Park, okay? Like, no. They want, people will go to concert. They'll pay money to go to concentration camps. They will not go to Marlins Park. I mean, like, that's what, I mean, that's how cursed that ground is.
No.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, ever since, like, you don't build parking structures in Little Havana. You don't build parking structures in Little Havana. You hand abuelo y abuela little signs that say $10 no blocky, exactly. and you have a market there for something. You don't build parking structures, especially parking structures that are financed to the tune of not over $91 million. That's pre-interest. That's just the city of Miami's contribution. The city of Miami, a broke-ass city, okay? It is one of the poorest cities. The city of Miami is one of the poorest cities in America, okay? Paid for the Marlins parking structures to basically put mom and pops out of business, okay? Yeah. People who had a cottage industry out of selling parking in their yards for for games at the Orange Bowl, and of course they built all these storefronts, as if retail was going to blossom there. First of all, a cigar shop closed. I mean, for crying out loud, in Little Havana, and the only thing that's ever like lasted there was like a Subway, because that's what we need is a Subway sandwich shop in Little Havana, because there's no place else to get good sandwiches in Little Havana.
Building, it's not even part.
It's in the ground floor of the parking lots, and so this is how the city prioritizes shit, and this is why we're a broken city. I mean, plain and simple. Are we talking about A-Rod? What the fuck are we talking about?
So let's go back to Hillstone.
Hold on. Billy, tell us how you really feel, bro.
About what?
How do you really feel?
You give me a subject and I'll tell you how I really feel.
Undoubtedly, you're on top of everything that happens in the city. As soon as something's proposed, you're like, fuck no, we're not going to pay for it. This is going to cost us. And people, like, they think that you're negative against the city sometimes because of it. But you're like an unsung hero.
Well, this is the thing about life now, is that when you tell the truth, you're a hater. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. And that's all I try to do here is tell the truth. If you're not, you know, every once in a while I feel in this town, especially in this country, really, you know, but especially in Miami, we need to hold up a mirror to ourselves and not just to snort coke off of it. Okay, we need to hold a mirror up to ourselves, and we need a restock. We need a reboot because this is a broken city, and we have nobody to blame but ourselves. We have, you know, the Miami of today is the America of tomorrow. You know, if you want a sneak preview of what challenges we'll face or calamities will befall us as a nation in the years to come, you need only look at South Florida. And we don't have leadership to indicate to the rest of the country how to deal with this shit. Mm-hmm. We are broken. And so the rest of the country sort of reflects us. And the rest of the country, the state of Florida is broken. America is broken. And Miami and the state of Florida was the sneak preview for all of this. Everything that has come to pass, Miami's already been through time and again. And so we have 21st century problems in Miami. 21st century problems and 20th century leaders. As a documentarian, what we do in our office is we look back on local news archive, right? We dip back into, they have this extraordinary place called the Florida Moving Image Archive, Wilson Florida Moving Image Archive, right here in downtown Miami on the Wilson campus at Miami-Dade. This extraordinary facility that has preserved Miami history on film, on video from local news archive going back decades. It's an amazing resource that we could not do what we do at Raconteur without this place. And so we often tap into that, and we look back, and so just the other day, we're looking at news footage from 2000.
Okay.
That is now 20 fucking years ago.
Fuck.
Okay?
So weird.
We're looking at footage, and let me tell you, we're looking at politicians. Let me tell you who's in government. Carollo, Suarez, Jimenez, Regalado, Diaz de la Portilla, Hijo de Puta. It's all the same names that we are dealing with now. The same broken, backwards, crooked people that have been feeding in the public trough and stealing from this poor city are still here. So when I say we need a new generation of leaders after Xavier Suarez, Joe Carollo, Tomas Regalado, I didn't mean Francis Suarez, Raquel Regalado, Frank Carollo. No, I mean new last names.
New people,
new people, new ideas, new blood. Yeah, not the same. But this is what happens in politics, is that people get complacent in the populace. It gets frustrating to keep up, especially in Miami, where you have a transient population and a lack of institutional memory. There's only so many people that know what the fuck Peaches is.
Yeah.
You know, what the Omni was. So people don't give a shit. They're all from someplace else. Mm-hmm. So no one really feels that they have roots or anything invested in here. So what you see is just complacency and malaise and gleeful ignorance. And ignorance doesn't mean stupid. Ignorance means you just don't know. Yeah. You're just uninformed. That's prevalent in this society, and particularly in this community. And so what we have is situations where suddenly these political positions become hereditary. You pass them down from father to son, from husband to wife. Why do we have to put up with the siblings and offspring and spouses of these people who have been doing so much damage to us for far too long? And this is what we have. We have 21st century problems and 20th century leaders. And until we all wake up and grow up and realize that we need new people to deal with these issues, we are doomed. We are absolutely doomed.
I mean, what do you think is the biggest struggle for someone that's trying to get into the political playing field and come up with an original agenda versus trying to continue the person,
like the
legacy that your father started in the city. Like, what do you think is the biggest roadblock for the new blood to get in?
It's a mafia.
Well, are you talking about it? Yeah, like the five families in New York. We have like the five last names in Miami. There's unfortunately more of them here that have just been ubiquitous. Let me give you an idea. So in Miami, we always hear about how broke we are. Yeah, we can afford to pay for a ballpark that turns a millionaire into a billionaire. We're broke, but the city of Miami, just the city, not the county of Dade.
Didn't he even come out on a game show and say he scammed Miami?
Yeah, Dave Sampson. That's the ex-stepson of Jeff Loria, the owner of the team. Yeah, he was on Survivor. Yes, he got voted off the first episode, by the way. Yeah. We should have voted him off, like, Miami is what we should have voted him off.
Out of Florida.
Yeah, off the island. But we hear about how Miami's broke. We can't do anything. We can't own the money for anything. The city of Miami, I'm not talking about Dade County, just the city of Miami, one of the poorest cities per capita in the country. The government collects $1 billion a year in taxes and fees. Over 70 cents of every dollar. That's 70%. Over 70% of that $1 billion the city collects goes to salaries and benefits.
Whose salary and benefits?
Exactly. The 4,400 city employees, past city employees who we have to pay the pensions of. They're robbing us. The government is robbing the people of Miami. So you're about over 70% of the $1 billion a year that Miami government collects goes to salaries and benefits. It's the Friends and Family program. So what you do is you have situation, and this is reflected in the county of Dade. This is reflected in all 34 municipalities of Dade. That's the thing about Miami-Dade, is that we have the unincorporated, right? Mm-hmm. And then we have 34 municipalities in Miami-Dade County. So that's 34 mayors. That's almost 34 police departments. Some of them contract with the county, but almost 34 city commissions or village councils,
zoning, etc.
Right, all in these individual. Let's name them. I mean, we don't have to name all 34, but you got Miami Gardens, you got Hialeah, you got Pinecrest, Miami South Lakes, Miami. Florida City, South Miami, Coral Gables,
every city,
North Miami, Miami Beach, Miami Shores, on and on and on. Miami Gardens. These are just the ones with Miami in their name. North Miami Beach is an interesting place because it's the only city in America with the word beach in the name that has no beach. Because everything's a fucking real estate hustle in this town, right? Lies that came true. So that's the Florida story. So long story even longer. 34 municipalities. And the spirit of the municipalities was the more local government is, the more accountable government is. Meaning like, if we don't have to go all the way to county, you know, government center, you know, county hall, basically, in downtown, because we're way the hell out in Homestead or Florida City or wherever, that's good because we now have a local accountable government that we can reach out and touch. These people are required to live within the city
the
limits.
Same community and everything. Right.
So that's the spirit of it. Not only that, but we get to harness the financial power of this community. That's why Aventura exists. They wanted to stop giving their property tax away entirely to the county and say, we have a wealthy population here. Why don't we
keep it here?
Keep it local.
Keep all the money
inside. Local.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I get the spirit of it. It's a good idea. Here's what happened. What we actually did was create 34 new opportunities for people to steal from us.
Jesus.
Because you now have 34 new treasuries, if you will, that opportunists, lobbyists, crime families in many cases can go and take over. Opa-locka, FBI raided City Hall. FBI raided City Hall. FBI raided City Hall like it was John Gotti's house, okay? Because Opa-locka is not a government. It's a CCE. It's a continuing criminal enterprise, okay? The victims of which are the residents and the citizens of Opa-locka, in addition to their creditors, such as Miami-Dade County, the state of Florida. And we can't foreclose. We can't go and take over. Only the voters can, by an act of a ballot, can essentially dissolve, unincorporate, essentially. Right, okay. They can unincorporate. But you, Hialeah, continuing criminal enterprise.
Right.
Leia Arts District. All right. Whatever. Okay.
De Hialeah ni el café.
Yeah, it's true that like you can actually will shit like that to happen. You just sort of brand a place and just will shit to happen. You know, that's what like the Leia Arts District. Am I pronouncing it right, Leia?
Leia
Arts District. Leia. Hialeah Art. Right.
Leia.
Yeah. Right. It's not a real thing. I mean,
it's not a real thing.
I'm sorry. It's just not a real thing. So this is what we've created here. We've created, it's like, I describe it as Game of Thrones in paradise with slightly fewer dragons. That's what Miami is.
Because
that's the thing too, is that like, there's this common misconception that Miami is a melting pot. We are not a melting pot. I like to say we are far more akin to a TV dinner where sometimes the peas fall over into the mashed potatoes. But we are not a melting pot because we self-segregate. We create these fiefdoms and we create these neighborhoods and we gerrymander ourselves into like complexioned people and like, you know, and if not like-minded people. And that's what we've done here. And I think it has been to our detriment and potentially to our destruction. And so we've created these fiefdoms where right now I would venture to say, let me say something positive. Just to change shit up here.
Shit.
Okay. It's a little bit cooler in here too, right?
It's not. So, so I will say this. Meanwhile, I forgot what I was going to say that was positive.
So anyways, you're sitting down with A-Rod.
So I was thinking we're going to talk about movies and what the fuck.
It's 305 Radio. We got to talk about,
I mean, about everything.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, yeah, right now, it went from 954 Radio in here to 786 Radio. So you're right, it is a little un poquito, it's a little cooler. Yeah, I say not so frio, bro. I speak fluent West Kendall. I did want to make a slightly positive point, which of course I would have dragged it right back down into the muck. again.
We're the breakers here.
But I don't. But I'm just admiring these guava pastelitos that someone picked up from Fresco y Mas earlier tonight.
Because it's Imas.
And it is Imas. Yeah. Well, how did everything become Imas? Like CBS Imas.
Absolutely no idea.
Publix at least went Sabor. You know, like they didn't go like Publix Imas. They went full Sabor. You never go full Sabor.
It tastes good.
Shit. Let's go to the bar. What are we doing?
You were gonna attempt to say something positive. About
I don't remember. I was serious. I wasn't fucking around.
He's
I was
still thinking.
I was serious. I gotta wind back. We gotta rewind here on the podcast, and
we'll figure it out.
No, but we were talking about. Yeah,
our own segregation.
The fiefdoms, absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for helping me jog my memory. I was like, well, I'm having a real senior moment, a real early onset moment here.
Give ourselves 32 municipalities to be able to
34.
Rock. 34 to be able, 34 new opportunities to get rocked.
So let me say this, something positive. I've caught up.
There it is.
Thank you, guys. You guys are amazing.
That's why I clicked.
That was a lot of Control-Alt-Delete shit, bro. You closed out all the apps that weren't responding, and I'm back. And I'm back, bro. I'm back.
We have
averted the pinwheel of death, and I am here with you. So much of fucking Mac metaphors right now. There's a bunch of PC people out there, a bunch of Windows people out there going, what the fuck is this guy talking about, bro?
So...
I would venture to say that the cities of Miami and Miami Beach are probably two of the most famous cities in the world. I mean, brand-wise.
Yeah.
You could go anywhere in the world and say South Beach, say Miami, and people just know what you're talking about.
Of course.
I mean, and you remember, Miami Beach is basically a barrier island of 100,000 residents. Now, on any given weekend, that shit becomes 300,000, which makes it very challenging to police, very challenging to govern, because everything in government is really based on population. But if your population is constantly
changing,
in flux like that, it makes it challenging. So I acknowledge that there are unique challenges to tourist cities and places like Miami and Miami Beach. They're the most, but I reiterate that, and this is positive, they're some of the most valuable and famous brands in the world.
Yes.
I mean, you talk about brands. I mean, talk about famous people. You say Kardashian, you say LeBron, you say Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley, Miami. These are like just things that you could go to the farthest reaches of the universe, to distant islands or distant villages, and people would know exactly what you were talking. Oh, Miami.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. In Miami and Miami Beach, who are the mayors right now?
I don't know.
You're like, I didn't know this was going to be a fucking civics lesson. I wanted to talk about movies. What the shit?
Francis Suarez.
In the city of Miami, Francis Suarez is currently the mayor. In the city of Miami Beach, the mayor is Dan Gelber. Both of them are the sons of former mayors of Miami and Miami Beach, respectively. Xavier Suarez was the mayor of Miami Beach, and Seymour Gelber was the mayor of Miami Beach. Without casting aspersions on the performance of either of these current mayors, can't we do something different? Can't we change this playlist? Can't we change this song? Why is it that in two of the most vital, famous cities with all the potential in the world, do we have this hereditary system? This isn't you know, the royal family. Why can't we have new people with new ideas, some different last names in the mix? 21st century problems, we need 21st century leaders. We are stuck in a city with the most 21st century problems of any city with 21st century problems.
Yeah.
You name the challenge, we are facing it here, okay? And we have 20th century leaders. And that is, there is a hopeful message here, though. Just fucking vote. And not just fucking vote, run for office. Run for office. If you know good people in these districts in Miami-Dade County, in these districts in the city of Miami, in the districts in the various municipalities that you live in, encourage them to run. People have proven in a single district in the city of Miami, basically 2,000 people vote. You don't need all the money in the world to knock on that many doors. of prospective or likely voters. You can effectuate that kind of change. Eileen Higgins did it in Miami-Dade County. She ran against one of these crime families, political crime families, the Barreros, in this town. Bruno Barrero is one of the commissioners. He was the chairman of the Miami-Dade County Commission during the Marlins Park boondoggle. And one of the best county commissioners that we ever had, Katie Sorensen. Katie Sorensen, for some perspective, she started a good government initiative at the University of Miami to run courses and classes on ethics to foster the next generation of leadership. It went out of business.
Oh, wow.
Just to give you some perspective of where we're at. So Katie Sorensen, Commissioner Sorensen at the time, wonderful commissioner. Like I said, one of the best we've ever had. During the debate on the Marlins Park boondoggle, Bruno Barrero, who was the chairman, was controlling the conversation. He literally could turn microphones on and off, right? Mm-hmm. So he started to block every single amendment that other commissioners were attempting to introduce just to make the deal a little bit more palatable. They were like, listen, we acknowledge that this is going to pass, but it's a terrible deal. Can we at least get some guarantees of transparency or try to make it a little bit better for our constituents who were supposed to be here representing? Mm-hmm. And Bruno Barrero was like, no. He was blocking every reasonable, rational amendment. And then Katie Sorensen says, if I may, I would like to proffer a friendly amendment that we name this venue Bruno Barrero Ballpark.
Ooh.
Because he was so crooked on this deal that she said Bruno Barrero Ballpark. So he ran his wife for his seat at the county commission. Oh, shit. A couple of years. Okay, mind you, she had zero qualifications other than her last name. For those who saw the distinguished gentleman with Eddie Murphy, she was running solely on name recognition and being able to raise money from the same special interest groups that had supported her husband as a corrupt county commissioner. And so, she runs against Eileen Higgins, who is a gringa, bilingual, mind you, gringa. Who everybody assumed had absolutely no prayer against this established Barrero crime family. And this is a guy who literally voted to protect towing companies while he was taking money from towing companies. Like classic Miami, because Miami kind of guy. Jesus. And Eileen Higgins won.
Good.
This green guy that everybody thought could not sort of, and what you're finding, I think, in Miami is a smarter and better informed voting base. The people who are voting are not just the abuelas y, abuelitas y abuelos who they put on buses and defraud collect their absentee ballots in the Navarro parking lot. Yeah. You know, people are smarter now, and they're like, well, wait, we just kept voting for people because they looked like us and they spoke our language because we thought that would be advantageous to us. But now they're saying, like, but what have they done for us? They've done for themselves. But what have they done for us? And so people are smartening up now, and they're saying, we'll listen to different people. We'll listen to people who may not look like us but may have different ideas because the status quo is not working. So I encourage people to run for office. I encourage people who know good people to encourage them to run for office, and I encourage
Billy
people
Corbin
to vote for better
for
people.
Office?
I mean,
no,
is
never.
That something that we'll
never,
see
ever,
in the
ever,
future?
Never. You know how they say never, never say never? Never.
Never.
Never. I run for office.
Can I just nominate you, and then you have to do it? No, it's not how
you
it works.
You said to encourage.
That's not a thing. That's not a thing. Listen, we would say change the back to
the
Florida Marlins.
I think the Simpsons
did it. Some encouragement.
We nominate them to be the Florida Marlins. And I want a pit bull and or DJ Khaled bobblehead every night.
Oh, yes. Man.
Every night, and I will go every night.
Speaking of pit bull and screwball, the best part of the movie for me was when they go to live and they lose the vial of blood. But the like basically the opening thing is a kid who looks like Pitbull.
Baby Pitbull. I love Baby. Yeah. I love Pitbull. Yeah. Let me just say I love Pitbull. He is just like the Cuban Jimmy Buffett.
He seems like a good guy. He is the best.
Like what he has been able to build from nothing is extraordinary. Pretty much, extraordinary. Yeah. Like and he's not just, you know, a hip-hop artist or a businessman. He's a party promoter. Yeah. That's what he does. Yeah. He throws a party. He throws a great party. And so people know wherever he is, or like, that's going to be a party. Yeah. And I think it's amazing. And that's why that was our homage to our baby Pitbull character there in Club Lives, bro.
Yeah,
we had the word club to everything at the and then the S at the end. Club Lives, bro.
No, so after all these nuggets of information and horror stories.
Tenders. We'll call them tenders.
Horror stories.
Because of Publix. We don't call them chicken nuggets. We call them chicken. They're tenders of information.
Chicken tender.
Wait. Honey wheat roast beef sandwich from Publix with the bread cut out? Is that a thing for you?
You're stoned as fuck, right?
Yeah,
now.
I love
you're
it.
You're so high.
Not even anymore.
So high.
One of your ex-interns told me to bring you a Mellow Yellow Zero.
Oh, I love Mellow
Yellow. A Four Locos original recipe.
1.0, bro. 1.0. OG.
And a Publix sub honey wheat with the bread cut out. Roast beef.
That's not quite.
That's not accurate.
That's why they're a former intern. But they were like, it's super close. It's super close.
How close are we to getting a documentary about Miami politics?
I feel like every documentary we make is about Miami politics.
In a way. You know, in a way, it really is.
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
But you know, from a different perspective.
The permissiveness of this environment is what allows us to tell these stories, is what allows these stories, I should say, to occur, and then we get to tell them later on. There's just something very unique about this environment. And listen, in a weird way, for me, the more fucked up Miami is, the more work I get. I get very little out of making Miami a better place.
Yeah.
If you think about it. My business is Miami being fucked up. But I would love for it to be a better place. I'm a Florida native and a lifelong Miamian. And my whole life, I always dreamed of leaving behind a better Florida than the one I was born in. Mm-hmm. And those dreams are relatively crushed at this point in my life. But I can't help it. You know what? Like, I just can't help it. If the economy's bad here, business is good for me. If the politicians are corrupt, business is good for me. If tourists stop coming, business is good for me. If tourists keep coming, business is good. Meaning, like, there's no, like, the more, yeah. like, what I'm saying is there's really no scenario that's the better off Miamians are, theoretically, the less interesting and the less conflict there is here. But I can't live like that. I can't live like, oh, I'm in it for myself. I'm in it to make life better for me and mine. Miami is a collective experience. Like, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. We're all in the same shitty traffic. Yep. We're all like, why are you and where you have to go so much more important than me that you have to like cut me off to get one car length ahead? Like, we're all in this together. Like, why can't we just like bond over the fuckery? Because we're all the victims here.
We're the victims here of our government.
We're the victims of, why can't we just say like, we're cool. Like, we're in this together. Like, that's why we say, like, Miami, why are we so selfish and myopic and self-centered and self-important? Well, that's why they call it Miami. It's not our Ami or your Ami. It's my fucking Ami. You know? And I think that's, I think we
I like your shirt, by the way.
Thank you. But we're seeing a generation, I'm hoping, of Miamians growing up who are natives, who were born here, who are like, who hopefully feel like they have a stake here and understand that the better, in my opinion, the more rights and the more freedom and the nicer that every American or everybody in this country, I don't care if you're American or not, have and are to each other, the better we all are. Okay? Yeah. The less intrusive government is in our lives. The more freedom we have, the more rights we have, the nicer we are to each other. It makes life better for everybody here. Why are we living in a city that is an immigrant city where people vote to deport themselves? Why does that happen? Why do we live in a city with one of the most vibrant LGBT communities? In fact, in Miami Beach, the first city in the South to afford equal rights to the LGBTQ community, why do we have people that believe that they are lesser than? I don't believe that anybody is lesser than. People might be less informed than somebody else, but we all have an opportunity to treat each other better, to make a difference, and to make lives better for everybody. I don't think that we should. I'm not in it to make life better for myself. As much as I feel like, you know what? Life would be easier and I'd be richer if I just shut the fuck up. Okay? It would be. I would just be like, whatever. I'll just, you know, the old saying, like, I want there to be less corruption or more of an opportunity for me to participate in it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could just be that guy. I could be a lobbyist. I could open a charter school. I could roll around in the public trough and be richer, and but I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like if you do not speak, if you do not speak truth to power, I should say, if you speak truth to power, they may silence you. Mm-hmm. But if you don't speak truth to power, they will definitely silence you. Because if you don't use the voice that you have, they will definitely stop you from ever having a voice. I would rather take the risk of speaking truth to power, of using my platform to punch up. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I bitch about, you know, a shitty restaurant or delivery service, but that, because Miami. But for the most part, I punch up. I punch at elected officials. I punch at people in the bureaucracy who are making two or three times what the average Miamian makes salary-wise, okay, and are being paid by those average Miamians and taxpayers. I punch up at them because I think that that's the only chance we have to make this a better place. I had an elected official tell me once, she said, you know, sometimes... She may have said oftentimes, but I remember it. Sometimes we need to be embarrassed into doing the right thing. And you find that. As long as they get to operate in the back rooms and do these shady deals in city hall or county hall, they get away with it. But if you're putting them on blast, sometimes, you know what cockroaches hate? The light.
They do.
And when you shine a light on them, sometimes these politicians are like, shit. They have no place to run. They're cornered in, you know, in City Hall. Mm-hmm. They're like, maybe unfortunately for us and our families and our corruption and our pockets, we may have to do the right thing here because all eyes are on us now. So that's the life that I choose here in Miami. And it's a harder life than it could be, but I couldn't do it any other way. And people can call me a hater, they can call me what they will, but if they would be the lead, though, because people just like to put the blinders on and go about their day and say that everything's great. But everything is not great, and this market is long overdue for a major correction. We are about to hit our next bus cycle, and it's going to hit super hard.
It's super hard
at the Bricolistas, bro. You know, you're not going to have these condos to wash your money in anymore. Well, sorry, Venezuela.
How do you, well, we got to wrap it up. But right before
good,
we
I'm gonna
wrap
eat some
up,
guava pastelitos.
For anyone that's coming up in Miami and that wants to start making, you know, start filming documentaries and things like that, do you have any words of advice, encouragement, or anything like that for them?
Read and run for office. And what I mean by read is, I mean, be intellectually curious, consume as much news. Real news as you possibly can, not Fox News, and consume from a variety of sources and information, just not Fox News, because that's not a real source of information. Yeah. That's like Leni Riefenstahl. So, which might be interesting from a cinematic perspective, but is not valuable information. Does give you insight to how some people think and the echo chamber that they exist in. But for the most part, be intellectually curious, consume a lot of news and media, be informed. I mean, if you're going to be a filmmaker, you have to know what people are interested in, what they're talking about, what's relevant. You can't make movies about irrelevant stuff because then people won't be interested in watching them. So you have to know what's relevant. In order to do that, you have to be up on what's happening in the world. You know, you have to wake up every day and say, what is happening in the world? And then I would say, don't be a filmmaker. I would say run for office. I mean, that's what we need now. We need a new generation of leadership. We need some new last names. We need well-informed people to take a stand. And you might not win right out of the gate, but we need to challenge. Francis Suarez ran unopposed, raised almost $3 million to run unopposed. Okay.
Wow.
We have commissioners we have a state attorney who has been the state attorney for 26 years. She's been the top cop in Miami. And the last time she ran unopposed. How do you do that? How do you do that in one of the largest, most important counties in the country? Run for office. And if you don't want to run for office, like I don't, I can relate, I respect that. Find people, good people, that you believe in, that you can support, that you can help, maybe with your filmmaking abilities and your knowledge to help bolster them and support them and put them on your shoulders and run them and help them run for office. That's what I recommend.
Man, so many good gems with this guy.
Tenders, bro.
Tenders, bro.
We got to bring you back, though, but when we have the AC running.
I'll come back anytime.
So for anyone that wants to find you online, what's...
What's the best way to reach you, Billy?
Just at Billy Corbin, C-O-R-B-E-N. I'm not the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins, though I get a lot of tweets for him. He got Billy Corgan got at Billy. So he was an early adopter to Twitter, investor. He got at Billy. And then he changed his name to William Corgan. So I was like, bro, can I get at Billy? Like, you know, like, go get at William or something. You know, like, but at Billy Corbin, C-O-R-B-E-N, and that's on Insta, Facebook, and Twitter. The Twitter machine.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
And Twitter.
Billy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Going to have you on another time, man. We got to shoot the shit again. What I thought was going to be a spew of movies turned into fuck Miami is this, politics. I love it.
It was a beautiful interview. Awesome.
It was a lot of fun, man. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Next time we'll talk movies,
I promise. No, we're not talking shit. Fuck that.
No, we'll go to the bar at P.F. Chang's downstairs and we'll talk movies if you want.
Something. Yeah. Maybe. I just want to keep talking this Miami fuckery. Fuck it. This shit is
Ladies
awesome.
Thanks and gentlemen, for, well, thank you so much for tuning
thanks
in.
Thanks for
to...
Will for showing up today.
I'm going to score you out. Keep talking.
Thank you so much for tuning in to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine, right here at Miami Underground Radio.
This is the Game of Thrones.
Thank you once again, Billy Corbin, everybody.